So, notice I start every lesson with so. Welcome to everybody. This lesson is really one movement. It's a lesson in basic flexion that uses various strategies to improve basic flexion. So, this was the first lesson that was taught in my training. And I've mentioned to some of you before that I'm trying to do two things at once. It's not a good idea. I mentioned to you before that it changed my whole relationship with my chest. It was the first time I had any sense of folding forward. So we'll see how it goes here. Flexion is our basic move of self-protection. Like you're attacked, you flex. It's also the move that you do in fight or flight, where you flex first in order to to get going. We need it for going from sitting to standing, all these changes of position. We need it for reaching down, getting something from the floor. It's very basic. I think of it as evolutionarily early. You know, snakes do this flexion extension, this kind of reversal between flexing and extending. Even amoebas have that almost like undulation kind of thing. So I need to tell you, I need to give you the sacred sites for this lesson, sacred citations, because I combined a lot of people's lessons here. So of course, some comes from Moshe himself, some comes from my teacher, Elizabeth Berenger, some comes from Mark Rees, another teacher who's put out some wonderful tapes. And this opening piece, I've almost borrowed verbatim from Marek Wazitsky. So let's please sit down on the edge of your chair. So you're sitting on the front edge of your chair so that your sits bones are making contact with a hard surface. You know how there's the hard front of the chair and then it kind of tilts down. You don't want to be behind that hard thing. You want to be on it, almost like perched on the edge of your chair. That looks good. Now, we're going to be studying lowering and lifting the head and trying to improve it. So go ahead and do that and see what you come up with, just lowering and lifting the head a couple of times, a few times. Now think about how you might engage your whole body to do that. Rather than focusing on the neck, how might you improve it by engaging your whole back, your spine? Stop for a minute. You can rest. You can sit back in the chair. You can release anything that you started to get going there. The first thing we want to do is become aware of what you do. So go back to the movement. Each of us has our own way of doing things. So you're all probably going to do it differently. Go back to the movement and attend to what are you doing? Where does it initiate? Where do you start the movement? How does it follow through? And how are you using your back and your spine? The vertebrae, we have three sections of vertebrae. There's a cervical section, which are the vertebrae in your neck. There's the dorsal or thoracic section, which are the vertebrae in the midsection, mostly where your ribs are. And then there's the lower part, the lumbar section in your low back. So are you using all of those? How might you? Do you have movement in each of those? Clearly you're going to have movement in your neck. Do you have any movement in your thoracic in order to lower? And you can, you know, you can lift your head too. So bring your head a little bit back as well as going forward. So create that evolutionary back and forth thing. Is there movement in the lumbar? And especially, is there movement in the thoracic? All right, leave that alone and sit back. Have another rest. How are you breathing when you do this? Do you stop breathing when you start moving? Be aware how you're breathing. I'll tell you what we're going to do next and then we'll try it. So when you lower your head, pull your belly in. When you lift your head, puff your belly out. See what that does for you. If that changes anything, if it engages your spine and your back any differently. So when you pull your belly in, it tilts your pelvis forward a little bit. When you tilt your head up, maybe it tilts your pelvis back. So we're going to be doing this kind of movement many, many times. So if there's anything painful or even any kind of strain in this or any kind of discomfort, stop doing that. Make it smaller. Make it slower. Make it lighter. See what you can let go of. We don't want in the new year, especially, that at the end of this lesson, you go out of here hobbling. So take good care of yourself. Keep it small and simple. We don't care. We're not exercising here. We're exploring. So we don't care about the quantity. We're into the quality and the curiosity, the exploration. So take another rest. We're going to do this one more time. When we go back to it, I love this part. Merrick suggests, which is the section that you move the least? Can you use that as a gauge for the size of the overall movement? In other words, say 80% of your movement is in your neck and 20% is in the rest of your spine. Can you make the movements only the size of that 20%? So you're matching up the different parts of your spine by lessening the one that goes the most. In other words, purposely make the neck move less. All right, try that. Use the part that moves the least as your marker. I would guess for most of you, that's going to be the thoracic. Nice. So this is a kind of neurodifferentiation, a thing we do a lot in Feldenkrais, where we're starting to distinguish moving different parts differently. And make this easy. Make this, you know, super easy. Make it even too easy. Too easy. And how are you breathing? Holding breath, breathing out. Which part breathing out, which part breathing in? And then let that go. Sit for a minute. Just feel yourself sitting. What is it to sit in the middle? Feel free to do what you need to do. Feel free to take care of yourself. You need to move something around in between. It's fine. All right, so you can get rid of the chair and please lie on your back. And of course, like we always do, pay attention to what changes when you change position like this. What are you letting go of that you no longer need to hold up? What can you let go? And what doesn't want to let go? Just be aware of it. Now, please, the emphasis in this lesson and pretty much almost all Feldenkrais lessons, the emphasis is on the skeleton rather than the muscles. So please take yourself in as five skeletal lines. You have the line of your spine from the bottom of your coccyx to the top of your head. You have the line of each of your two legs, their directionality, their length, and you have the line of the two arms. And just be aware of those five lines, or if you bent your arms, it would be a broken line, but still line. And now, notice this top of your spine line, how your head makes contact with the floor. Where? Is it more higher in the skull, lower in the skull? And run your mind's eye and your kinesthetic sense down from your skull down the vertebrae of your spine. This is your midline. It's also segmented line that we were working with on the chair and will continue to work with. And feel where is the lowest area in your spine that you're making contact with the floor? How low down in your pelvis and the sacrum is it? Are you making contact like at the top of the pelvis and then the sacrum doesn't make contact? What's it like down there with the contact with the floor? And then start tracing in your mind's eye up. So you have the contact in somewhere in the spine, and be aware where the contact lightens as you're going up. Does it lighten gradually? Does your whole waist area make contact, or does it lighten there? How big a space is there behind your waist? And study the progression of that space. How big is it? At what point does the opening begin? And at what point does it end? Is it a gradual or an abrupt? And then go ahead and continue up your spine. Feel the where the what the contact is through the ribs. Feel again where your spine maybe loses contact at the neck, and is that a gradual one or an abrupt one? Feel that curve behind your neck, and again where you make contact at the back of your head, high up, low down. For a moment, bring your attention to your breathing and what kind of movement your breathing creates. Forward, backward into the floor, sideways. Now please, very gently, very softly, a small amount, maybe an inch each way, roll your head from side to side, letting the weight of your head sink into the floor. The easiest possible rolling movement of your bowling ball head. Anything you might be holding on to that you can let go. Especially there in your neck. So I just want to remind you that you are the expert on your own self, and you please take rest whenever you need them. Feel free to get to know your own rhythm if you want to explore something when I ask you to rest. Listen to yourself. And now, leaving your legs long, if you can manage that, please gently lift your head from the floor one or two times. And the purpose here is not to exercise your head. The purpose is to say, what am I doing? How do I do that? Where do I feel that? Just one or two times, and then memorize that, and we'll come back to it later. How do you do that? Where do you feel the muscular effort there? Good. And how different is it to bend your head when you're lying down than it was when you were sitting? It's nice. All right, let that go. And if you can, still leave your legs long. Interlace your fingers of your two hands. Interlace the fingers of your hands and put that interlace hands behind your head. So your head is cupped. Your head is cupped in your hands. And then what's comfortable for your elbows there? What's comfortable? This is where is it comfortable for you to have your elbows? And one or two times, lift your elbows so that you bring them close to your face and then put them back down again, and just feel that movement. Feel what that does in your shoulder blades. Go slowly. Again, it's an exploration. Feel how your shoulder blades come away from your spine. You're not lifting your head. You're just moving your elbows right now. It's just saying, you're saying hello to your upper back, shoulder blades and ribs back there and the elbows. And this is in preparation for, guess what? Now, bring your elbows to your face and use your arms now to lift your head. Do it once, bring your elbows back down. Breathe a little bit. Just do one at a time. You know, get your elbows all the way back down. Take a breath. Don't be in a hurry. Think about it. Bring your elbows back up and do it again so that you're paying attention to, that's nice, to what you're doing there. and explore it. Not like an exercise, more like curiosity. How do I do that? And can you use what you learned from sitting on the chair? That's nice. The idea of gauging which part is doing small amount of work, adjusting the other parts. So you lift your head as much as possible so it moves from your shoulders and your back, and you're differentiating your neck from those parts. And if you have any neck issues, don't do any movement in the neck. So what happens in your back? Maybe think about lengthening your spine as you lift. I love seeing you take a rest, you think about it, you don't just do one after the other. You feel it, you enjoy it. You let go. You feel yourself. All right, let that go a minute. We are going to bring the knees up, but not yet. That's going to be a nice revelation. So you can bring your arms down. Take a rest. If you thought you could lie here for another several hours without doing anything, would the rest be different than if you thought you're going to have to start moving again in a minute? Maybe roll your head again a little bit. Make sure you haven't picked up something you don't need. And please, now, bring your knees to standing. And interlace your fingers, put your hands behind your interlaced hands behind your head. Same thing, bring your elbows up to your face and lift your head. Anything different? Explore that for a minute. What's different? And can you feel kinesthetically why? Having to do with what we were doing on the chair, even. I am terrible at keeping secrets, so I have to tell you. What's different is that having your knees up means that your pelvis is available to participate. It's not stuck. Sticking out there. All right, so explore now. You can take a rest if you want, but have a look now at how you're breathing. When are you breathing? Are you breathing out when you lift your head? Are you breathing in when you lift your head? Or is your breathing not coordinated with the movement at all? If you're not already doing it this way, as you take your head away from the floor, breathe out. And you can remember what happened in the chair where breathing out, you drew in your belly. So in fact, as you lift your head, you can suck in your belly and breathe out, both of those. And does that create any movement in your pelvis? Are you starting to feel a connection all the way up and down your spine as you do this? Please, the minute you start to feel either that you're physically tired or that you're starting to get bored, rest. Because this is a mental exploration. So if you start to get your attention wander, stop. Everybody take a bit of a rest. So once more with this, bring your knees up to standing, your knees up and your feet standing, interlace your hands. Try interlacing your hands non-habitually. You know what that means? So if the left thumb was on top of the right thumb, put the right thumb on top of the left thumb and vice versa. And just do one or two movements with the hands that way and see if it has any effect on what you're doing. It may, because it changes the balance between the right and left side. Do be sure that you bring your elbows all the way into your face. If you're having them far out, do one or two movements in each position. Feel what the difference is when your elbows are closer in, what happens in your spine, what it enables in your forward, in your ribs and your sternum. If you have your full elbows in, it enables a softening and a kind of dropping in the sternum and the ribs. All right, so actually where I was going here was, see if you can, what happens if you lift your head on the in-breath? That may take a little bit of thinking out because you'll have to figure out when you breathe out in order to breathe in on the in-breath. What's the effect of that? Is it possible to make that comfortable? What may happen here is that you may arch your back, and some of you may feel actually that this is your more habitual mode, that you lift your head by arching your back. So this is what we don't want to do. See if you can find a way to lift your head on the in-breath and still have a flexion in the back and a softening and a dropping in the front. Raise your hand if that's not clear what I'm saying. Okay. And then rest. Let's have another rest. You can bring your arms and legs down. You can leave your knees up, whatever is comfortable. So to do a flexion while you're exhaling, it makes it easier to then soften the ribs and drop the sternum. And in a way, that's the underlying problem or challenge in the lesson in flexion, is softening the ribs, dropping the sternum. It's something I think we end up dealing with in every lesson. Getting more availability and flexibility in the ribs. So that's the easier way, breathing out, which enables that softening and dropping of the sternum. And in Feldenkrais, we like the easier pathway. At the same time, however, we also go for making the difficult easy, making the difficult harmless, making it pleasurable. So throughout, you're asking, what can I let go? Are you feeling anything in your hands? Are you feeling any kind of effort now as you're resting in your hands? So be aware how you can lighten that up. This is a quote from Alan Castell, another Feldenkrais trainer. How we feel about ourselves depends on our self-image. If we like our self-image, we like ourselves. If we don't like our self-image, we don't like ourselves. So if you feel good about yourself moving, you will like yourself. So Alan Castell decided his mission would be to help people like themselves by having a good feeling about themselves moving. He's a Feldenkrais trainer. So feeling good about moving, feeling a little bit better each time, definitely one of the principles. On to the next, please. Bring your legs back up to standing. See if you can do a movement now where you tilt your pelvis up. That means you tilt your pelvis up to bring your low back, the belt area, to the floor. We're going to take some time with this pelvis. We're going to spend some time with this. So please remember to stay in a comfortable range without stretchiness. And especially if you have any vulnerability in your low back, go very lightly and keep picturing it skeletally. You know, almost like the skeleton can move without the effort of the muscles. How do you do that? Stay small and keep paying attention. So, what strategy are you using to tilt your pelvis up? How are you doing that? This is not lifting. This is not a pelvic lift. Your pelvis stays on the floor. Imagine your pelvis is a bassin. The French word for pelvis is basin. So imagine your pelvis is like a bowl and you're tilting it. So the bottom part comes up, the top tilting it so that you're pouring water up toward your navel. So you're only tilting the bottom. You're not lifting anything from the floor. The top of it, you're just tilting it. Picture that bony pelvis tilting. All right, I'm going to give you several strategies. Feel free to rest. Several strategies for tilting the pelvis. There's one trainer, actually, she's now in her 90s. She worked with Moshe in Israel. And I went to a lesson of hers where she spent the whole hour on this one movement, tilting the pelvis. So strategy number two is what we did on the chair. Try tilting your pelvis by sucking in your belly. Breathing out, exhaling, sucking in your belly, and see if that gets some movement there in the pelvis. How does that feel? This is all about curiosity. What's going on? All right. Here's another strategy. Try lifting your toes and pressing your heels into the ground. So the pressure point of your heels moves up through your lower legs, through your knees, through your thighs, into your hip joint. And that movement of the bones in the hip joint tilts the pelvis up. And then you let it back down again. You lift your toes, you press with the heels, the effort goes through your legs, and it tilts your pelvis up. You bring your toes back down, the pelvis tilts back down. Keep it small. Keep it small. It's not about the quantity. It's just about the quality. You can be a little bit lazy about it. Let's try something here. What happens if you just do that with your right foot? Lengthen your left leg and bring the toes of your right foot up, press the right heel into the ground, and see what happens. It's how the pelvis tilts when you just do it on the right side. Is it uneven? Do you feel that moving up your spine in a different way? And then go ahead and lengthen your right leg. Bring your left knee up so your left foot is standing, and try it on the left side. So you would lift the front of the left foot, feel the pressure through the heel up into the left side of your pelvis. And I'm pretty sure it's going to be pretty inevitable that these two sides are going to feel different. One side tilts easier, one side maybe goes a little crooked over to the side, one side doesn't like doing it at all. Just see what happens there. See what that feels like, the difference between the two sides. And just by doing this on the two sides, it will help equalize. How high up the spine do you feel that going? And then try both together again. See if there's some improvement. All right, I can see if people are going at their own pace, please feel free to do that. And let me know when you've gotten through the two sides and the two going together by lengthening your legs and resting. All right, everybody lengthen your legs. Have a short rest. There's one more strategy. So please bring your knees back up, your feet to standing. And now feel where on your pelvis is the strongest point of pressure. Where do you feel the strongest point of pressure in your pelvis? And then start to tilt your pelvis up in order to move that point just a little bit up to the next vertebrae in the sacrum. Move it up a little bit. So you're using that pushing of the pressure point into the ground, moving up to tilt your pelvis. See how it is to do that. And how high can you go with that? How high up your spine can you go with tilting your pelvis without actually lifting, without lifting your pelvis? Without lifting your pelvis is not a lift. It's a tilt. It's a rounding. The reason it's not a lift, it's a rounding of your back. So you're trying to push, you're trying to keep pushing your back into the floor and just lifting the part right below it, if that makes any sense. And do you start to feel anything in your head? Do you start to feel your arms are down by your side for this, so that they're not interfering with the movement of your head? So your head is down on the floor and you're just tilting your pelvis. That's all you're doing. And you can combine any of the strategies. And now look at how high up your spine that movement goes. It's not an exercise. It's not a muscular push. It's almost like you tilt your pelvis and it goes, the effect of it just kind of travels up your spine. See how high you can feel that tilt, sucking in your belly, pushing through your feet, imagining that basin. Don't have your arms behind your head yet. Just because we're going to do something else in between. Just feel the way it moves your head. Maybe you had your arms behind your head because the funny thing that happens is when you get up to your head tilts backward. A funny thing happens. It doesn't tilt forward. It drops back. If you're just letting go and you're tilting your pelvis and all the way up to your spine, your head will drop back. We'll discover that in a minute. All right, let that go. And there's a short rest here. A real short rest because our time is getting a little bit short. Bring your knees back up and your feet to standing. Feel free to do what you need to do to make yourself comfortable. And try the other direction. So what we were doing was tilting the pelvis up. What happens if you tilt the pelvis down? Okay, what that means is the front of your spine lengthens, the back of your spine shortens. So come back to neutral. Try tilting the pelvis down. You push your belly out, same as when you were in the chair to do that, to tilt down. Very light. It doesn't have to be big. It's just to get the idea of how the pelvis moves, how the skeleton, how it affects the spine, and then combine them. Tilt up a little bit, tilt down a little bit, and see if you can feel the reverberation of that into your spine, up into your head. You tilt up, you pull your belly in, you tilt down, you push your belly out. You're using your feet to help you, nice and easy. And note, this is a kind of weird thing. that when you when you bring your pelvis up, you're lengthening your spine. And the spine is moving downward. You're lengthening the back of the spine and it's moving downward. When you go into extension, you're lengthening the front of the spine and it pushes the spine upward. This is maybe a little complex. You don't have to mentally understand it, but it's almost like the spine is moving up and down between the shoulder blades. You're in the flexion and extension, you're moving the spine up and down. When you're flexing, the spine goes down. When you're extending, the spine pushes up through the shoulder blades. Flexing, it goes down and lengthens. Extending, it pulls up and it moves the head. Can you feel that? Try going a little faster. Up, you know, letting go the technicality and just being a little sloppy about it. Up, down, so you're just almost like a jello, a bowl of jello, tilting your pelvis up and down. That's it. And let your head go. This is meant to be pleasurable. Stop thinking. Just tilt your pelvis and see what happens. Tilt your pelvis, let everything else go. And see what happens. Speed it up a little bit. That's it. Avoid holding your breath. Let your neck go especially. And if the speeding up doesn't work for you, slow down again and just be real gentle. Sometimes we get caught in, when you flex, you think your head is going to go down and it gets confusing. All right, better rest. That movement is indeed called jello pudding. And I brought it into this lesson. There's a whole lesson that leads up to that particular move, but I thought we could enjoy a little bit of it here. So this is why I did this lesson. It's a research question for me. Why, when your head is not invited to tilt forward, when we're not saying tilt your head forward, when you just leave your head alone, or when it's not constrained by your hands lifting it, why does it drop back when you tilt your pelvis? Why does that happen? And I think that it's because the head is heavy, that it's the natural thing for it to do when the spine pushes up, that it kind of throws the head back. When the spine pulls down, it throws the head forward. But we're going to come back to constraining the head with the hands. So we're going to invite the head to do this flexion thing. As you can hear, this is a little bit suspect. It has always intrigued me, this problem. Okay, so we're going to return to lifting the head, but we're going to do it initiated by tilting the pelvis. So bring your feet back to standing. Interlace your fingers. Place your hands behind your head to cradle your head. So lift your elbows. And just take that position. Don't lift your head. Instead of lifting your head, tilt your pelvis So the low back comes closer to the floor, the sacrum tilts up. Feel the flexion move up your spine and use that progression. As you feel it move up into your shoulder area, use that to lift your head. So you're using, as you feel it coming to your upper back, that's nice. Use that so you don't have to do anything in your neck. You feel that tilt going up into the shoulders, and you just continue it by lifting your arms. And try that a few times. Tilt your pelvis. You start by tilting the pelvis. You can push with your feet, however you like, however you want to tilt your pelvis. Feel the flexion, not extension. Flexion, flexion. Tilt your pelvis up. Your waist comes into the floor. All right. Explore that a few times. That should feel good. That should feel like, wow, my feet are lifting my head. Be very careful that you're not doing extension in your back, that you're pushing your back into the floor. You're lengthening your spine, pushing, pulling in your belly. For people that are really naturally more accustomed to extension, this can be difficult. But go small, just go very small. All right, take a little rest, just briefly. You can leave your legs up because we're going to finish this up. This is more like a breather. All right, now interlace your hands, put your hands behind your head again. Either way, you could do non-traditional. And now initiate it with, actually open your eyes, bring your elbows close to your face, initiate this with your eyes instead of with your pelvis. Your eyes start to look between your legs and you lift your head with your arms from the top now. You open your eyes, you look, that's it. You come back down again, your elbows rest, and you try it again. So I'm thinking that now you're tilting your head much less than the beginning. That the tilt is now happening more distributed. So you can start on the top with your eyes, or you can start on the bottom with your feet. Imagine you can use your pelvis to lift your head. I find that actually remarkable. And then you can let that go. And before we take a rest, I know I'm rushing a bit here. Please forgive me. Lengthen your legs. And lift your head. See if you're doing it any differently than before. Just once or twice, that's all. Without using your arms, just lifting your head. If there's any difference. And then take a rest. You can feel yourself lying there. Take in your whole self. See yourself as five lines. Anything different about that? The length, the direction of the lines. And run your mind's eye up and down your spine. Or start at the sacrum. Where is the point of pressure now in your pelvis? And what happens at your waist? Is there any difference of what's touching the floor, what the space is like, where it comes off the floor? Any difference in how the spine and the rib area and the thoracic area is lying, shoulder blades? Any difference in your neck in relation to the floor? And the point of contact of your head. How are you breathing? Where are you breathing? What's the movement that happens when you're breathing? Take your time to bring yourself up to sitting and all the way up to standing. Take your time. And then when you get to standing, feel yourself in standing. Has this lesson had any effect? Maybe rock a little forward and back and see how the flexion, if maybe there's a slight movement of that flexion and extension as you rock forward and back. And then in the middle, how do you line up? How do you line up in the spine? Please go ahead and walk around a little bit and see how that feels. And that will be the end of the lesson.